Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Ferrovial's conference call to discuss the 2017 first quarter results. As usual, the results report is available in our website, and if you have any questions, you may either send them through an email to ir@ferrovial.com or via this conference call in the Q&A section at the end of the call. And with this, I will hand over to Ernesto López Mozo, Ferrovial CFO, who will be leading this conference.
Thank you, Ricardo, and good afternoon, and thank you for attending the 2017 first quarter results presentation. I'm joined here today as well by the CFOs of the different business divisions of the group. Well, the main highlights before getting into the more in-depth analysis are that we have seen excellent traffic growth across our main infrastructure assets, toll roads and airports. And we highlight the outstanding performance of the managed lanes, both NTE with traffic growth of 7% and LBJ of 22%, which are still in the ramp-up period. And this growth was combined with higher revenues per transaction, helping to deliver impressive EBITDA growth of 36% and 66% respectively. Also, again, the 407 ETR in Toronto that released results some days ago beating expectations with 5.6 growth in traffic and 17% EBITDA growth. And the Spanish assets also showed a strong growth, even though last year Easter took place in the first quarter and not this year, and the Spanish toll roads get favorable traffic performance in the holiday periods. If we move into Heathrow and the regional airports, Heathrow grew at 2.2% above expectations, and the regional airports, Glasgow, Aberdeen and Southampton, grew at 5.3%. Okay, so this good traffic performance has been also combined with solid financial growth, and we've seen a good performance in dividends to shareholders from our infrastructure assets, improving the trend that we ourselves were expecting. In terms of presence in core markets, we have had good awards in the U.S. in particular and in Poland, even though we are not reflecting many of them in the backlog yet. So we have something like 3.5 billion euros of recent contracting that is not in the backlog yet. But the backlog combined, even though we haven't recorded these recent awards, remains at similar levels to the end of December. So very solid backlog and improving with the recent success in contracting. In terms of financing, we also, across the board, took opportunities in the markets to issue a new corporate bond, 8 years, with a coupon of 1.375, 5 million euros, and also the 407 ETR, launched a 16-year bond of 250 million Canadian dollars. The UK regional airports refinanced the original debt of the acquisition, and this helped to give additional distribution to shareholders, right? So it's not only the additional operational and financial performance, but also the financial structure was optimized. And also, we at the end of the quarter, we disposed of a 3.9% stake in Budimex. We maintain 55% and the control of the asset. Other pending disposals are not reflected in this first quarter, and these are the toll roads in Portugal, Norte Litoral and Algarve, and Norte Litoral already closed, but as I said, it's not reflected yet. In terms of the net cash position, we closed with 477 million euros FX infrastructure projects, and we'll get into more detail on this at the end of the presentation. And we also announced the first scrip dividend and the share buyback program. Details of this have been made available earlier in the day. Okay, so now with the total financial results showing 38% revenue growth and 17% EBITDA growth, basically due to the incorporation of Broad Spectrum in the perimeter, we also have good growth in like-for-like terms, 11% in revenues and 4% in EBITDA. Net profit I mean, if we take out the extraordinary results of the sales of Chicago, these capital gains, and the Irish toll roads last year, the net profit would be at similar levels to very comparable to last year. Okay, so let's get into the detail of the performance of the different divisions, right? Starting with toll roads, in like-for-like terms, revenues went up 10% and EBITDA 24%. And here we already discussed the managed lanes in the ramp-up process, but in Europe, I mean, we have growth in Ausol 1 at 7%, Autema 10%, North Littoral 6.5%, and the Irish toll roads M4 6%, and M3 10.9%. The 407, I already discussed the 5.6 growth in the quarter. The toll road paid $415 million Canadian dollars in dividends to shareholders, and 11% growth vis-a-vis last year. In terms of the managed lanes, as I said before, the EBITDA grew substantially, 36% and 66%. Okay, so I will stay short here of discussing more about toll roads, reminding all the people in the conference that we will have the Sintra Capital Markets Day on the 25th of May, where we will be doing an extensive review of all the assets and outlook. If we move into services, I mean, after the integration of Broad Spectrum, there's a lot of growth. Let's look into the different components. Spain is performing well, ahead of our expectations. Growth in revenues reached 11%, and basically this is held by private customers to some specific engineering projects regarding the wind energy installation, and basically this growth comes with slightly lower margins. That's the reason why you see a slight drop in the EBITDA margin, and also because of some additional costs on the rail contract where we do the onboard service. But I mean, the outlook is strong, and we are seeing good trends in tons treated, and the order book is quite stable. So Spain ahead of our expectations and looking good for the year. In terms of the UK is online with what we were expecting, so we reiterate, we confirm our outlook that we should be reaching between 3 and 4% margin at the end of the year. The evolution will be more reflected at the end of the year, and the reason for this is that we are closing some contracts that were not performing, so we are incurring the costs for that, and at the same time we're having some higher costs related to maintenance machinery that has an operating lease. But the net effect of this is that along the year this should be diluted a long time, and therefore we should achieve what we announced in the year-end conference call. Also touching on Birmingham has a better contribution than last year, but is still showing some negative contribution of 3.8 million euros, and this is due to the fact that while the negotiation is advancing in good terms, we have to keep more overheads and advisors that are bringing this additional costs together with some additional works, right? This kind of performance should improve once we reach an agreement. We have not released any provision. It's still pending the final negotiation, and hopefully we'll be able to get that done before the end of the first half. Looking forward to that. In terms of the order book is down in local currency, but we are more conservative in terms of bidding. But we think that the country in some sectors like rail and roads should have interesting growth prospects going forward. It's not our focus now. That's the reason why the backlog is coming down a little bit. Then we have Australia, and we are reporting broad spectrum. I mean, we started consolidating that in May 2016, and we are consolidating the Australia and New Zealand part on one side, and then the Americas, that is mostly U.S. and Chile, is reported within the international section. Okay, so it's performing well, and it's it's still early to comment on some of the initiatives that we are looking at there, but we are looking at efficiencies. Of course, we're looking at a very wide pipeline. Okay, so we're looking at a pipeline that could reach 30 billion, and we'll be updating on how we do with contracting. And as I said, this sort of cost reduction. And also, we are looking at contracts that were not performing, basically to try and get out, have a better risk transfer in these contracts, right? So there's a lot of initiatives going on there. The performance of the asset is above our expectations at this point in time. Okay, so we move now to constructions. Constructions sales are up 18% in like-for-like terms, and basically we are having higher production in Weber, Australia, and the UK. It's still early stages in very big contracts, but I mean we have higher production now. You also know that basically when we start all the big projects, we tend to basically have very prudent margins, right? So one of the reasons why Ferrovial Agroman and Weber are having lower margins is also because we are starting big projects, and also there's less of our engineering value added, right? So there's less of our design influencing this contract. So we have this kind of lower margin, still above the sector margins. Then we have Budimex. That Budimex is having a fantastic performance. I mean, the fantastic performance is due to the fact that works are being finalized without risks materializing, and we expect this solid performance to continue. And just wrapping up in construction, backlog going up 1.6%, and as I said, a lot of new contracts yet to be reflected in the backlog. So contracting has been very active, in particular in the U.S., that is our priority market at this point in time. Okay, so we move into the airports division. I mean, you are probably... So the presentation of London Heathrow results with traffic going up 2.2% and intercontinental traffic increasing by 2.6%, with excellent performance in the BDA held by good retail revenue performance and good cost control, right? So, I mean, we have received, our share of the dividends from London Heathrow. The 100% of the dividends paid out by Heathrow in this quarter were £94 million, and is in line with the report that Heathrow released last year at the end of the year. Basically, the report indicated a number of £375 million to be paid in the total year. Of course, the performance is better than what we were budgeting, so let's hope that this trend continues. In terms of AGS, where we saw increase in traffic of 5.3% and EBITDA by 23%, I already discussed that there was a refinancing that allowed additional distribution to shareholders. So AGS has paid the same amount to its shareholders, £94 million pounds in distributions, be it dividends or repayment of financing, and our share of this is €54 million. Okay, so as I said, I think that the performance has been excellent of the divisions and ahead of our expectations at this point of time. If we look at the net cash position, we see that we reach €477 million ex-infrastructure project level. And here the main factors that came in were the dividends from projects. We received €154 million from our infrastructure projects, either dividends other sort of distribution. In terms of investment, we invested 58 million euros, but our divestment of the 3.9% stake in Budimex reached 59 million euros, right? So the remainder is the working capital evolution, and here we had a reduction in the factoring of 65 million euros, and the rest is the seasonal one that reaches something like 435 million euros and is based basically on advance payments received at the end of last year, right? So according to the seasonal expectation for this time of the year. Okay, so with that, I'll probably stop there and open the floor for the Q&A session. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. The Q&A session starts now. If you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you. The first question comes from Olivia Peters from Berenberg. Please go ahead.
Good evening, everyone. I have three questions, please. Firstly, just on the Birmingham contract at AMI, I was under the impression that the deadline for an agreement was actually the 31st of March, so I'm slightly surprised that that process is ongoing. When do you expect to reach a final agreement with Birmingham City Council? Secondly, on Ferrovial Agroman, obviously there's been a large decline in the margin there, and you commented on the mix. Now, your UK peers and US peers make much lower margins in the region of, say, 1% to 3%. Is that something you would suggest we assume going forwards? And lastly, what is the optimum leverage in your minds at the 407? Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Olivia. Well, actually, we didn't have really a deadline that was set on the stone with the Birmingham Council. Okay, so the idea was to advance and get things done on the first quarter. Most of it is done. So we are working with the aim of closing in June. But as I said, it's a negotiating process. There's no, let's say, legal hard deadline, and therefore it depends on advances. I mean, there's nothing out of what we expected. We have a kind of third party helping in the negotiations, so we'll keep you updated. No hard deadline. We expect this to close this second quarter, hopefully June. Then regarding the margins in construction, as I said, it's driven by mix and timing, right? So probably in the coming months we should see this sort of performance. We don't provide guidance, but clearly the situation is now that we have big contracts starting, less of our value-added design. Some of these will come to the pipeline in the future, but there's this sort of margins in the coming months. And then regarding the optimal leverage of the 407, we usually don't comment on this, but this is the typical topic that will be discussed in more detail in the Sintra Capital Markets Day. So probably we'll show some numbers there and basically address that kind of question. Know that it's a solid investment-grade company. And basically the driver of value is more the operational performance and the risk that happens a long time, right? So I will stay short there and we'll have more discussion with the Sintra guys on the 25th of May, if we may.
Sure. Ernesto, could I just follow up, please, on my Agroman question? Could you give me a sense of a proportion of the work that are starting better where you're implementing your design capabilities versus just building management, roughly?
We don't have that exact detail here, but I'll give you an example. For instance, big projects like the I-66, where everybody was competing with a different design, that is not yet in the backlog and will start production months later, right? So this kind of project, I mean, we have less of that at the moment, right? So we are not providing the breakdown. We'll have more of this in the future. At the moment, we should expect margins in line of what we are seeing right now.
Super. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question comes from Philip Plait from BPI. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello, everyone. I have two questions, if I may. The first one on working capital, and if you can quantify the working capital consumption during this quarter. Second question on construction activity. It's just a clarification if there was any provision reversal booked during this quarter. And last one on Budimex and the recent stake that you sold. I would like to understand the rationale for the divestment, if you are planning further cuts in your stake that is currently, I think, close to 55%, and if this decision represents a different strategic approach to Central Europe, or if you continue committed with your presence in the region.
Okay, well, I'll start with the last one. No, we haven't changed our strategic view with Budimex. We like the market, we have control, and we had been receiving from some long-term investors, local investors, queries about the asset in the past, and basically we thought that it was a reasonable value, and having this kind of shareholder, long-term local shareholder as part of the group is something we welcome, right? So no change of strategy and a reasonable transaction, nothing strategic about that. In terms of release of provisions, yes, there's a release of 54 million euros in this quarter. And regarding working capital, I already made a comment that we have no factoring at the moment, right? So that means a reduction of 65 million euros. And then it's true that at the end of the year we had some more advance payments ahead of our expectations, and that usually recovers seasonally, right? So there's nothing more to comment. I mean, no issue with collections or payments. It's just the seasonal effect of the advance payments at the end of the year.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from Martin Wachtel from Bank of America Merrill Lynch. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, good afternoon, everybody. I've got a few questions. The first one is on broad spectrum. You mentioned that there is a pipeline of contracts, if I understood correctly, 30 billion. So can you be a little bit more specific? I mean, over what period that is, and in what sectors do you expect to win most contracts at broad spectrum? My question number two is on the AGS airports. If my calculation is correct, your net debt to EBITDA is around 8 times right now. So would you expect to keep the leverage at this level going forward and just distribute any cash flow over and above that through dividends at AGS? And lastly, just coming back on provision reversals in construction, I'm not sure if I understood that correctly. Did you say that there was a 54 million of provision reversals in construction? Can you just clarify that?
Yes. Hi, Martin. Okay, let me try and address all of them. Well, in broad spectrum, I said that the total pipeline and opportunities could reach 30 billion. In terms of what we are bidding at the moment, it's around 12 billion. Regarding what we expected, that we expect to win, we never disclose that. But I'll give you an idea of the sectors and type of contracts that we are seeing. Right, so we are seeing highways and maintenance that could be around 1.5 7 billion. We are looking also at facility management and logistics services in the defense of around 1.2, and this is taking into account New Zealand. And then also we have in Australia another 1 billion. So in defense, maintenance, and logistics, we have something like that. We also have a schools facility management of 0.9. That is some of them. But then, of course, we have others in transport as well and resources, right? So this is an example, and more than saying what we expect to win, we'll comment when we win things, the type of contract that we win, right? Then regarding AGS, the leverage is around 7.5 net debt to EBITDA. Of course, the assets keep growing and performing, and yes, we should have in the remainder of the year more of the scheduled dividends, right? So the asset is performing well, and the cash flow generation should help distributions in the future. The kind of leverage should be around this level now. And then regarding the rebalance of positions, yes, we released 54 million euros of provisions in construction.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question comes from Thomas van der Meer from Kempen & Co. Go ahead, please, sir.
Good evening, gentlemen. Basically, two questions. First of all, do you have in your portfolio more refinancing opportunities like we've seen with your UK regional assets? That's one. And the second one, could you remind me what the broad spectrum margin was in Q1 16? And then for the whole group, so not only like Australia and New Zealand, but also your other international activities. Thanks.
Okay, so basically in terms of the broad spectrum margin last year, we were not consolidating that, right? So probably we have to look at the reported material of the time. I mean, we don't have our own numbers for that. And then regarding refinancing opportunities, there's going to be activity, of course, the regular one at Heathrow that you'll see, and then in the other infrastructure projects, it will be a long time, more than us expecting anything really specific for this year. And if there's something expected for this year, I'll ask Paco to complement, but initially we don't expect anything as significant as AGS for this year. Yes, they will be in the future, and in the future there will be refinancings in the managed lanes and so on, but you're talking at 2019, 20, and so on.
Okay, cool. Thanks.
Thank you. Next question, please.
The next question comes from Bosco Ojeda from UBS. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, good afternoon. Two quick questions. One on the ETR 407, the level of traffic growth and revenue growth. Is there any sort of one-off effect there that we should take into account, or that is a good reference for the full year growth? And second, on the Budimex, just to follow up, would you anticipate to accelerate any other divestments? Not necessarily in Budimex, but elsewhere. Thank you.
In terms of divestments, no, we don't have any plans. As I said, this reflected a query. The only thing that we have at the moment pending administrative approval is the remaining Portuguese toll road, Algarve. And regarding traffic, Paco, will you take that?
In regards of the traffic growth in the 407 for the 2017, we would like to remind that the East Extension has been open back in June 2016. During the second half of 2016, this piece has been not tolled by the government, so the toll start at the beginning of February in this year. So supposedly in the second half of 2017, we will be expecting a decrease in traffic because of the of comparison between 1 year with toll and 1 year without tolls.
Okay, so sorry to if I can understand. So you would expect total traffic in the ETR in the second half to come down?
Well, we will see. But we will have a different base comparison because we will have a piece of the road that will be tolled this year and has not been tolled in the previous year. So supposedly the traffic growth will stop or will be slowed down.
Okay, understood. Thank you.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. We kindly remind you, in order to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. And the next question comes from Santiago Molina from CaixaBank. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon. I have two questions, if I may. The first one is on Amy. On 2016 results, you pointed out an EBITDA margin of 3-4% for this year. Could you give us some visibility regarding when you expect to reach this level of margin? And the second one is on broad spectrum. Could you give us some sensitivity or color on the profits that you generate on the immigration centers? Thank you.
Okay, thanks for the questions. Well, regarding the AMI margin, we've said that you reached the 3-4% level at the end of the year for the cumulative year, right? The reason for that is that, as I said before, I mean, we've come to agreements to get out of some contracts that are not performing, so you are taking that out along the year, right? And also, in some of the divisions like rail and consulting, you have milestones that are recognized at the end, in the last quarter of the year, and basically there you get additional bonuses, right? So third and fourth quarter, but more fourth quarter. So expect this to be trending towards the end of the year with the significant improvement in the last quarter. And then regarding broad spectrum, sorry, we cannot share that detail.
Okay, thank you.
The next question comes from Joaquin Ferrer from Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, good afternoon. It's two follow-ups. One is about the 407. I would have expected that with the introduction of tolls in the East Extension, traffic was going to slow down already. So can you share with us how this performance compares to your forecast, this traffic performance, also in terms of the calendar? And then back to, apologies for going back to construction and this provision. So this provision release is accounted at the EBITDA level, because the EBITDA in the first quarter was 56 million euros. So just to confirm that point. Thank you.
Yes, you are right. It's affecting the EBITDA level. Absolutely true. And then regarding traffic, Paco, you have that data?
Yeah, well, we believe, it's hard to say, but we believe that out of 5.6 traffic growth that we had in this quarter, 80% of that is because of the East Extension. It's slightly above our expectation, to be frank. But apparently in April is still going well, so we believe that it is at least will be remain up to the end of the first half. So the question will be after the second half.
Okay, thank you. And back to the construction segment. So I understand that of course it is not recurring this provision. So what should we expect in terms of margins for the rest of the year for the construction business?
Well, I've said, I mean, we don't provide guidance, but I've said that basically margins for the division ex-Budimex could be around these levels for the coming months, right? And Budimex will be probably performing very well. the combination should be very similar. Okay, so for the coming months, I mean, it's not, let's say, a long-term guidance at all.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question comes from Robert Grimes from Insight. Sir, the floor is yours.
Yeah, hi. So, Dennis, just going back to the reversal of the provisions, did I hear correctly that it was 54 million and all of that was in construction? Have you got an approximate geographic distribution of the 54 million? And what was the comparable figure for the first quarter 2016? Thanks.
Yes, Robert. I mean, let's just gather the number. We have the distribution here. It will take just a couple of seconds. If I could take the next question, please.
The next question comes from Antonio Rodriguez Vicens from BBVA. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello, good evening. Just one question regarding Australia. The question is there any seasonality that we should be aware of that should lead to any acceleration or deceleration on the EBITDA, obviously excluding the Nauru Manus contracts?
No, we are not considering any seasonality.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. So now we have the answer to Robert Kram's question. I mean, the reversal of provisions has been 22 in Budimex, 22 in Budimex, 15 in Spain, and 15 in the USA. And, I mean, we'll get back with the number last year, what that was. It was, I think, close to 30 million, something like 29 million euros, something like that, and it was more based in Spain.
Thank you very much. There are no further questions in the conference call. We now hand over to the speakers for final remarks. Thank you.
Okay, well, thanks a lot, all you, for attending, and we're looking forward to seeing you all or as many as possible. On the 25th on the Toll Roads Capital Markets Day. Thank you. Bye-bye.